Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk with Ed Zagofsky. I haven't spoken to him in over 20 years, and it was wonderful hearing his testimony. You're going to enjoy it. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Thursdays from 2 to 5, and Saturdays after services up till 1 o'clock p.m. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester, New York area, be sure to visit Shema Yisrael and the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. And now here's Ted Pierce, Hallelujah et Adonai.
Praise Him with the cymbal, praise Him with the dance. Praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai, hallelujah, et Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel, Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. Praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord. Shofar, praise Him with your hand. Praise Him with the timbrel. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the drum and the flute. And praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
Ted Pierce coming to you live from the Bagels and Blessings Convention in Pennsylvania. You are listening to the greatest show on radio, and aren't you glad?
If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869. Email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. Call us today at 585-204-7869. We just want to pray with you and give you a great big hug. And now here's Yaron Cherniak with a beautiful song. I know it's a lot of Hebrew, but it's about repenting and coming back to the Lord.
Eli et derech lashuv elecha yamim kasha tiye לשוב להיות בזרותך הדרך בסופה אחיה אז אשוב אשוב אתן לך את חיי כל פינה שבליבי את נפשי שם אתה לי אז אשוב, אשוב אתן לך את חיי כל פינה שבליבי את נפשי שם אתה לי בקרבי
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. You just heard a beautiful song called Ashuv Elecha, coming back to you from Yaron Cherniak. The translation of the song is, show me the way to return to you, even if it will be hard, to be back in your arms, the way, at its end, there is life. So I am coming back to you to give you my life, every corner of my heart. My soul, there you are for me, within me, you are there with me. Many ways I have tried, and in all of them I have gone astray. Many voices I have heard, but only one voice is burning inside me. And the chorus repeatedly says, so I am coming back to you to give you my life, as I was stated earlier. Beautiful song. Stay tuned for my interview with Ed Zagofsky. Now hear this. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Here's the song Mayim Chayim from Zamer Levav.
Chaim, all drink freely. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Well, that took me down memory lane. That was the group Lamb, the Year of Jubilee. And as you might remember, Lamb was made up of two men, Joel Chernoff and Rick Coghill. Rick recently went on to be with the Lord, and Joel Chernoff continues to record songs. And I love the music very much, but this one was popular way back, I'm going to say, in the 80s, the Year of Jubilee. Praise you, Lord, that we have been set free by the blood of Yeshua. Hallelujah. This is Ethel Chadwick, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I have a lot of fun with this next song. It was sung by Craig Taubman. It's called Shabbat Shalom. How do you celebrate Shabbat? You know, I grew up in a Jewish family, but we didn't really celebrate Shabbat. You know, Shabbat's supposed to be a day of rest. It's supposed to be a day that you treat differently from the other days of the week. I didn't experience that growing up. I mean, we still went out to eat, went to the movies. We just didn't even observe it. And it wasn't until I became a Messianic Jew and married my wonderful Gentile husband, who was observing all of the Jewish holidays, and he encouraged me to observe Shabbat. And when our kids were small, we treated Saturday differently from the other days of the week. On Saturday in our house, there was no TV, no computer games, and it really helped us to focus on the Lord. So even though this next song is a lot of fun, think about Shabbat. What does it mean to you? Think about how important it is to take time to have a day of rest and to focus on the Lord. Here's Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat,
Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat.
Light the candles, say the Kiddush over the wine. Do the motzi, the challah tastes so fine. Light the candles, say the Kiddush over the wine. That Shabbos feeling so fine. Every week I get that Shabbos feeling.
Shabbos feeling, get the Shabbos feeling.
I feel it from my head down to my toes.
Head down to my toes.
6 long days I have to wait for Shabbos.
Wait for Shabbos, just can't wait for Shabbos.
But then on Friday Eve, I get that Shabbos glow.
Get that Shabbos glow. Oh!
Shabbat, 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 Shabbat,
Shabbat, Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest.
Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day I love best. Shabbat Shalom, it's the day of rest.
Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom.
Again, that was Craig Taubman. And speaking of resting in the Lord, Paul Wilbur revived a lot of older songs on his project called Revive, and this one is called Resting Place. Stay tuned for my interview with Ed Zagofsky.
My soul finds rest in God alone. My peace depends on Him. In that place of quiet. quiet rest. He fills me from within. He pours on me His holy oil, the Spirit of the living God. Then He takes me by His hand and comforts me with His love. He comforts me with His love. From the Lord, new strength He gives to them. He gives them wings like the eagle, that they might soar with Him. He weaves His strength into their lives, the Spirit of Adonai. Then He gives them all of His peace to guide their hearts and their minds. He's guarding our hearts and
Paul Wilbur, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now it is my privilege to bring you my interview with Ed Zagofsky. You're going to love this one. Ed Zagofsky, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much for contacting me, and I'm just looking forward to this conversation.
I am too. And for our listeners, let me just say that when my family moved to New York City back in, I think it was 1989, your family welcomed us and made us feel so included, and you were so loving towards us. And I just have some very fond memories.
Thank you, Ethel. In fact, to tell you the truth, I remember way back when you and Daniel came to Bethesda in South Ozone Park. It was an amazing family-type fellowship, and you guys just fit right in. It was just a real blessing.
Aw. Well, I was wondering, and I'm sure our listeners were wondering, if you could tell us a little bit about your life. Like, for example, did you grow up in a traditional Jewish home?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm from New York City. I was born and raised in New York, and I come from a traditional Jewish family. We were not religious, but we did have a lot of Jewish pride, and my mother and father, they worked very hard, so they didn't really understand fully what it meant to be Jewish. They would celebrate Halloween at the same time they would celebrate Hanukkah, and the Feast of the Lord were more of a eating and family type thing than a deep faith-based celebration. That was about the situation in my family.
Well, and I'm sure growing up in New York City, most of your friends and neighbors were Jewish. So I'm wondering, did you ever hear anything about Jesus, or did you ever have any friends that were not Jewish?
When I became a teenager, during the time when the Vietnam War started, I did not have... I went to Hebrew school, actually, when I was 8 years old. For 5 years, I went to Hebrew school preparation for my bar mitzvah. I lived in an area that was not predominantly Jewish. I lived in Queens Village, which was a real mix of people. My family believed that there were two types of people. There were Jews and there were Catholics, even though there were many other nationalities in the area where we lived. I think that's more or less how traditional Jewish families back in the through the 1960s and 1970s looked at living in New York City. You're either Jewish or Catholic. When I began to go to high school, I found a lot of friends in an Italian neighborhood in South Ozone Park. Nobody ever spoke to me about Yeshua. My father warned me when I was maybe 10, 11 years old, while I was in Hebrew school, that that Jesus was not for Jewish people, that he was a traitor, and that we are not to put our trust in Jesus at that point. He was a very good man, but as you know, most Jews living at that time in New York City did not believe in Yeshua. There was a remnant that was being raised up at that time, but I was not part of it at all.
Well, Ed, the question, the million-dollar question is, how did you find out that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah?
Well, it's an amazing story. When I turned 15, it was 1968, the Vietnam War was roaring on. My brother was actually, who's older than me, was stationed in Thailand. I remember one of our neighbors, his name was Billy, he was killed in the Vietnam War. And it was about that time when I was age 15, I began smoking pot. I began being involved in anti-war demonstrations at the high school I attended. I was a promising athlete. As even though I was, when my first year in high school, I played on the varsity senior baseball team, and my gym teacher encouraged me to go out for a scholarship when I finished high school playing baseball, but that was not to be. In fact, very soon after I started smoking, I realized that if I began to sell drugs, I could get mine for free. And I became a salesman of marijuana and hashish in those days. And as time grew on, I became more of a major distributor in New York of drugs. When I was 19, 20 years old, I was very much involved in the drug trade. In New York, I didn't sell hard drugs, but I did a lot of business in marijuana and hashish. And when I met my wife, I met her up in the Catskill Mountains. I remember when I gave her my telephone number, I actually gave her the number in a code where the numbers were all scrambled because I was incognito. I even had a false name at that point in my life. That was when I was, I met her when I was just turning 20 years old and dealing very heavily then. We were married in 1975, after living together for about 3 years. And at that point, we lived in Regal Park, New York. My wife was a beautiful woman, and I loved her dearly. Once the first two daughters were born, let's roll it up to about 1980. At that point, I had lost the business, and I began driving a taxi. And at that point, my wife began going to a beach club in Atlantic City during the summer while I drove for a living. And years go on. I was paying off a very large debt to the IRS from the business I owned. It was actually a bar, and we served Italian seafood, if you can believe it. Coming up into 1986, 1987, I continued to work in the transportation industry in New York. I made a decent living. And she, in the summertime, kept going to this beach club in Atlantic Beach in Long Island. One day, on the beach, when she was there with my two daughters, a lifeguard came up to her. His name was Darren, and he began to talk to her about Yeshua. And it's a very kind of dramatic kind of story that involved her, because she was being tempted by a Greek man on the beach. You know, she, like I said, she was a beautiful woman when I met her, and she always took very good care of herself. Mm-hmm. Well, she was being seduced by this Greek man who was, everybody knows that all the diners, all the places to eat in New York were owned by Greek guys. Well, he owned a couple of diners. And he was seducing her. At the same time, this guy, Darren, the lifeguard, was talking to her about Yeshua. He gave her a New Testament, the Good News, it was called. No, it was called the Great News. And one day, she was tempted to go to visit this Greek guy. She read the Great News. It made no sense to her whatsoever. But Darren kept talking her about being born again and how to be born again by putting her trust in the Lord. Well, she found herself walking to this cabana where this guy stayed, and she lifted up her eyes to heaven and said more or less, Yeshua, if you are real, take this desire out of my heart, because I really don't want to go and be with this man. And she had an experience with Yeshua right there on the beach. He took that desire out of her heart, and she fell down on her knees in the sand on Atlantic Beach, and she prayed to receive him.
Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. And of course, she came home and told you, right?
Well, not right away, but I noticed right away, I didn't realize why that was, that my wife, she changed like her style of dressing. She became much more conservative in her dressing. And a couple of times, because I was driving for a living, I came home and I heard Christian radio being played in the house. And when I came into the house, I asked her, what was going on? You know, I've seen a change in you. I like the change, but I don't like hearing this Christian music playing. At the same time, my father-in-law, she comes from a more observant family. My father-in-law was offering to put our two daughters, I had two daughters at that point. One was 11, the other one was 8. And he wanted to put them into a Jewish education program. And that was a very happy thing for me, because I was looking to find out my Jewish roots and become maybe more observant at that time. Even though I was still using drugs, I used amphetamine drugs to stay awake while I was driving. and we were still smoking pot, my wife and I. She told me that she had put her trust in Yeshua, and she gave me a tract to read. I thought it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever put my eyes on. It was a tract where Yeshua was talking to a man who was asking him questions about what happens if I put my trust in you. It was a beautiful tract, but at that point it meant nothing to me because the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. I decided in my warped mind, in my drug-induced mind, that I couldn't handle the rejection of my family if I ever came to the point of believing in him. So I decided on the Labor Day weekend in 1987, I was going to tell my wife that I was leaving her. And I was going to take my daughters also because of her belief.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I used to park my car about 6 or 7 blocks from where I lived because my partner at that point, it was more of like a limousine service at that point. And I found myself praying when I would walk home because I knew that I was still using drugs and I didn't know what to do about my wife and my family. I didn't know. It was so confusing. It was so terrible. But I actually prayed about my drug use walking home at night a few times. And when the Labor Day weekend came, I told my wife that I wanted to speak to her downstairs. And my daughters were in the house. We came downstairs. We live in an apartment house. And I said to her, you know, I've realized that you've changed a lot. And I'm really confused about this. I want you to tell me what this belief really meant to you, really means to. And we began walking around the block. It was like a city block. And meanwhile, I was trying to get up the courage to tell her I was leaving her. And we came around the block once. She didn't, I didn't tell her at that point. I wanted to hear more. And Ethel, I was on a search ever since I was 15 years old for truth. I wound up following a guru at one point. I became a drug dealer. I was searching for something much deeper in the context of the Vietnam War. I was very confused. Well, by the time we got around the block a second time, I realized that everything that I had been looking for in all sorts of dark, evil places, and I have so many stories that I could tell, but I know we don't have time. But I realized at that point that I had found what I was looking for and what my wife, Nurit, had come to believe. And there in the street, Ethel, I had an experience, like almost like Shaul of Tarsus. I began to cry in the street, and I didn't know why. I just knew that she had found something that I needed to know about. And I began crying, and my wife didn't know what to do with me. She got me back into the building and put me in the elevator, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't utter a word. I was just crying. And she brought me into the apartment house, into the apartment where we lived, and my daughter saw that I was crying. And she leaned me up against the refrigerator. I was like limp.
Aww.
And she prayed for me. I didn't know what she said at that point. I didn't know how she prayed. But I had an experience where all the drug use, all of the drinking that I was doing, smoking cigarettes, the Lord took it all from me in that instant.
Wow.
While she prayed for me. And I remember that I began to laugh after that. And that night, I read the tract again. that she gave me. It was all very foggy, exactly how that all came about that night. But I was just laughing and full of joy. I didn't realize that I was delivered from all of that drug use. And I read the tract, and it tore my heart out. And I prayed the prayer at the end of the tract. And that's how I came to know Yeshua. I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid that if I went to sleep, that I wouldn't feel the same way the next day. I remember the next day going downstairs with my daughters and my wife, and we skipped down the street because life was so new. I was born again, like in a very dramatic way.
Praise the Lord. My goodness. And the very thing that you were afraid of, which is sharing it with your family, do tell how that happened.
Well, I remember my wife drove with my mother to New Jersey to visit her sister. And my mother asked her if we were going to the High Holy Days in the synagogue. And Nirit, she said to my mother, yeah, we're going. And she said, did you have to buy tickets? Because all Jews have to buy tickets for the High Holy Days when they go to shul. And my wife said, no, we're going to shul. We don't have to buy tickets. We had begun to go to Beth Tefillah at that point. And my mother said to her, what do you mean you don't have to buy tickets? And my wife told her what happened. And you know what my mother said? She said, oh, I'll buy lights for your Christmas tree.
Oh, no.
We told my wife's parents at a time pretty soon after that. He asked us to speak to an anti-missionary rabbi, which we got together with like a week afterward. He was only happy that we both believed in the same thing, that it wasn't as if we were believing in two different faiths. I remember that Roger and Carol, our pastor and pastor's wife, were praying for us when we met with this anti-missionary. And we went through that experience. He was very weird. He was very... I remember he kept pushing the glasses back on his face as he kept talking to us. He kept having to push his glasses back, you know, from his nose back on in front of his eyes. And we went to my pastor's house afterward, and we told him all about the questions he asked us concerning the scriptures and whatnot. We spent hours looking through the scriptures and talking with my pastor, and then from that point on, we grew very quickly. We were in a wonderful fellowship, family-oriented. I had a job driving for a living. I used to spend many hours waiting for lawyers and accountants at their appointments, reading the Bible, and witnessing to the people in my car. I used to drive home secretaries at night, and a lot of them were Seventh-day Adventists, and we used to have wonderful conversations about the Lord in the car while I drove. I grew very quickly reading and attending the congregation that we were in. It was amazing. It was a total life change.
Praise God. Well, Ed, in the moments that we have left, I wonder if you could fast forward a little bit and tell us how God is using you today and about ending up in Israel.
Yeah. Actually, we were in a prayer meeting with my pastor and a lady that came from Israel. She was an Italian lady who volunteered in Israel, and she was involved in taking care of the soldiers in the IDF. And she was talking about her experience in Israel on that particular prayer night. And the Lord showed me at that evening that we would be moving to Israel, but it wouldn't be then, but it would be later on. It turned out that about 5 years later, in a course of events with my daughter actually was living in Israel. My oldest daughter was living in Israel with my pastor and his wife when they came in around 1990. And it came about that my wife prayed. She didn't know what to do because my pastor's wife called from Israel and told my wife that maybe it was time for us to go. And she prayed about it, and she heard just two words from the Lord that day, and it was, get ready.
Oh my.
And in 3 months, we sold everything that we had. We didn't own a house. We were renting an apartment. We sold or gave away everything that we had. We came to Israel in March of 1992. This is the 30th anniversary of being here. And it was an amazing experience. I actually was going to stay in New York for like 6 months to pay off our debts. But I was working for a home health care outfit. And the day before my wife was going to get on a plane, I got laid off from my job. And the benefits that I had accumulated working for them paid off all of our debts. Instead of staying for 6 months, I stayed for 2 weeks and came to Israel. During those 2 weeks, my mother's second husband died. So I had the opportunity to sit shiver with her and tell her all about the Lord during that week. She eventually came to the Lord because the people that helped us make Aliyah kept taking her to Shuvah Yisrael in Long Island with Dave Rosenberg. And she came to know the Lord later on. And actually, she's buried here in Tiberias, Israel, because she came to live with us after she became sick. Right now, I work for a company called Megavoice, which is we spread the word of Yeshua throughout the earth with these digital audio players that have spiritual messages about the Lord on them. For people who are oral learners, they don't read, so they listen to these players that we make, and we have the largest audio library in the world. So that's really what I'm doing now. I'm working for this company. I'm actually retired, but they called me to come back to work for them afterward. Now I work 2 days a week, but I'm still doing resourcing for the company and contract renewals with suppliers. So it's been great. It's been a great news. If anybody wants to look it up, it's called Megavoice, just the way it's spelled. If you look it up on the internet, you'll see what we're all about.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing. And we just have about a minute left, but is there anything you'd like us to be praying for?
Yeah, at this point, pray for my children. My children grew up in a believing house, and none of them, there's four daughters, three of them are married, one lives in Tel Aviv that's not married. They're not really walking with the Lord, and I know that God is going to bring events on this land very soon that is going to wake up a lot of people that put their trust in Him but have not, that are not walking with Him now. I immersed all my daughters in Yeshua at different times while we were here in Israel. And I know He's going to wake a lot of people up. So just pray that in the course of things that will unfold here, that my daughters will come back into the faith and put their trust back in Him.
May it be so in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for being my guest. This has been such an enjoyable interview, and I hope to have you on Bagels and Blessings again sometime, and maybe your wife would want to do that sometime too, but, you know, we'll talk.
Sounds great. Sounds great. God bless you, Ethel, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome.
To share an encouraging story.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, shalom for now. Lehitraot.
Shalom Aleichem. And peace and grace to all of you. And maybe I'll speak to you again in the near future. Bye.
All right. Great. Shalom, shalom.
Yivarech Adonai Vayishmorecha Yair Adonai Panav Alecha Vikunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Alecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.